I wanted to go to James chapter 4. We're going to teach a little bit this morning, just starting off here. And in James chapter 4, I've been teaching on having your spiritual senses exercised or developing our spiritual senses. And we know that we have the sense of touch in the natural. You know, we have the touch. Whoops, we're going the wrong way. That's the expert man up there. He's going to straighten it out for us. Don't you worry. But anyway, what happens is that it says in 1 Peter, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, okay, how do you do that? Well, Jesus actually said we are to feed on him. What's that? The teens. Oh, the teens stay in here with us today. The teenagers stay in with us today. The youth, yeah. I wanted you to know that. So I want to talk about the spiritual dynamic of having your spiritual senses energized or come to alertness. It happens when we're gathering together, you know, when the Holy Spirit's with us, we can have confirmation of what we think he's been saying. In prayer meetings, people that you know and love and you share the Lord, it begins to ignite your spiritual senses. So many times when you're talking with friends and sharing about the Lord, it will confirm things God is saying to you personally. Those are all different ways, but here's an important one. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. I'm going to leave it there. You can read the rest. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There you go. So you get a tender admonishment, and then one more clear. They were having strife in the church, and James shot straight. Said, you better purify your heart, you know. But he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, this is what happens. The Bible says that the Lord wants you to know that he has saved you, are you ready, for himself. Just so you know. He saved you for himself, you know. Just like initially, you know, when you have kids and stuff, you know, you have kids because you want them. But he paid a price. The Bible says we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, right? 1 Corinthians 6:20. And so Jesus saved you for himself. It's not a religion to be even a member of a local church, or I was raised Catholic, or I was raised Baptist, or now I'm charismatic, or whatever. That's all great. That's good. That's wonderful. It's important. But he saved you for himself, so he wants you. You know, the name of our church is The Gathering Place, and I got inspired for the name because of Matthew 23, where Jesus is proclaiming judgments upon the end times and so forth, all the way through chapter 23. But the judgments coming upon Jerusalem for rejecting him. And then he says, if you only would have known, you know, that I wanted to gather you under my wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't do it. And so we know that that's the real gathering place, is next to God. Believe it or not, even using the word snuggling with God, getting close with God, the tenderness of God is the thing that, are you ready? Ignites your spiritual senses. The truth of God, the love of God, the corrections of God, the warnings of God, they alert you. You know, the bridge is out. The whole world needs to know, no matter who they are, where they're living, the bridge is out. And unless Jesus becomes the bridge over these troubled waters of this fallen world, people will perish into eternal damnation. There's no escape. There's only one way to be saved, to escape eternal damnation. Whether people believe it or not, doesn't matter. It's true anyway. But it says here that about 70, it goes from 72 to 77%, basically, people in America believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Does it mean they're all Christians? No, it doesn't. But it means at least they know about him and they accept, for the most part, what he said about himself. Okay? But the real issue is that do we know him? So he says here, I want you to come near to me, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now that's a promise, and it must be obeyed. You know, Jessica, in the beginning, was talking about, you know, laboring to enter into his rest. This is one of the, quote, labors to enter into his rest. As you draw near to him, this was the key to me. When we were, Pam and I were brand new believers, and we were going to the original vineyard with Ken Gullickson, we didn't have what we called beginning classes or anything like that. We just came in, we got hungry for God, and without knowing that verse, we began to do it because we got saved. We became Christians. That was the bottom line. So we began to hunger. I had an incredible hunger for the Bible. I began to read the Bible. And at that time, I was a salesman, and I had a lot of time to read, and also worked every other weekend and so forth. But the point was, is there was an automatic hunger inside my heart. A newborn babe, the Bible says, again in 1 Peter 2, it says, like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. When you're truly born again and saved, there's a desire, hopefully there should be, like a baby wants its mother's milk, so we should hunger after the Lord. That's another way that we develop. But this is the one I wanted to hit. If you come near to God, he will come near to you. That's what I want you to know today. So let's go to Matthew 7 and 8. These are the words of the Lord. But if people really believe this verse, remember James 1:21 and 22, it says, be not hearers of the word only, but be you doers of the word, not hearers only, lest you deceive yourself. You remember that one? It's an amazing, sobering warning that we can say amen to the word of God and say, yes, pastor, hallelujah, I like that. But if we don't do it, we end up in self-deception. We deceive ourselves. Now, this is a verse that is open to every person here today. Are you ready? This is for you. This is how your spirit, I'm going in a direction of how your spiritual senses are developed. Because if this verse starts becoming real to you, your spiritual senses will be ignited. They will develop. You want to know why? Because he will come to you. That's the point. James 4:4-8, draw near to God, he'll come near you. When he comes near you, that is through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through people, even through nature, I'll talk about in a minute. As he comes near you, you automatically, your spiritual senses are on alert, because the part of you that's truly born again, you know that we are spirit, soul, and body, the part of you that's born again is your spirit. In John 3:6, it says that that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. The Holy Spirit imparts eternal life into your spirit. And in that impartation, it gives you ability to know God who is invisible. And you know him by the sensing of the Holy Spirit, by him giving you a new heart. It says he'll give you a new heart, and the pure in heart will see God with your heart. It's true. But he says, ask. Now this is in a progressive thing, so it's ask and keep on asking. That's the verb tense. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, that is seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. So here it is. How do I develop myself spiritually? You seek God, you ask God, and you knock on his door. Lord, I want to know you more. I want you to reveal to me. This is how you enter into his rest. You knock on the door of God. You say, listen, I want to know you. I ask that, you know, you would, you know, save my family or whatever. Make yourself more real to my kids, my relatives, the people I work with. But if you stay with it, it says here, next verse, what does it say? For everyone. So that's everybody. So this is like unbelievable. This is one of the most amazing promises in Scripture, but it requires obedience and, are you ready? In the Greek tense here, perseverance. You have to knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking. So I always ask, Lord, I want to know you more. I want you to reveal yourself to me. I want you to put my inner man on high alert when you're moving, what you're saying. For everyone who asks, receives, and one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. So you need to be able to, number one, if you believe that and act on that, and over a period of time, everything that you ask for, because over a period of time, if it's not God's will, it'll eventually lose its power. Because as you draw near to God and asking, the things that he really ordained for you is going to be honed out. People can say, well, I want, that guy to be my husband. I mean, you know, and people, you know, you realize, well, after a while, it's like the Holy Spirit isn't going to give you energy for that. You see what I mean? I want to, be able to do this and that. I'd like to have 5 airplanes. Well, you know, whatever. It's not going to work, you see, because after a while, you'll find out it's just you. It has to be in a connection with God's divine purposes for you. But let me tell you this. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to his power that's at work within you. I believe that God wants you to know that he saved you for him, his very self, and he has things for you that your mommy and daddy could never have given you if they had the opportunity to. And he does not withhold anything that's good for those who love him. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And that's what I want you to learn today, that your spiritual senses will come alive if you'll obey the first verse I gave you, James 3:8, and obey this verse. Because as you knock and begin to seek him, he will come to you. And that is what develops your spiritual sense with God. Amen? Let's go to Numbers 14:21, a verse I'm sure you all know by heart. And nevertheless, he's talking here, actually, to Moses and so forth. He says, nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth. Now, there's four other verses in Scripture that talk about the glory of the Lord filling the earth. And that verse, are you ready? It used to bother me. Yes, it used to bother me because I'd say, hey, if your glory's all over the earth, how come babies die? How come we're not seeing signs and wonders and miracles and resurrections of the dead in every church in America who loves you? How come our marriages are struggling? How come kids are on drugs? How come there's witchcraft all over the place today? What's going on? What about your glory being all over the earth? I didn't get it, and it would bother me. Are you ready? It would bother me, okay? It was like, Lord, where is the glory of God? I saw it in Scripture. You know, Jesus turned the water into wine. I saw it in the Old Testament. All the priests fell down. The smoke filled the temple. All they could do was say, holy, 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 and they'd fall down, and they were all, you know, overwhelmed, right? Well, anyway, he began to open my eyes. Are you ready? He began to open my eyes up. Yeah, and to what? Well, Romans 1:20. And I began to see over a period of time, and it's still developing, but I began to see how stupid I was because I didn't realize the little beautiful things in life, the simple things in life. You know, you think about something that you swat when it gets around you, a housefly, okay? Tell me any airplane or any helicopter that can fly like a fly and can even know when you're going to swat it and the crazy thing gets up and flies away. Where did that dude get so smart? How is it that, what do they call them now, the little birdies? The hummingbirds. How come they can do their wings faster than anybody's, you know, we don't even know how to calculate it, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and we see them, and we had one in our yard. The egg's about this big, you know. And how is it that a chrysalis or a worm, you know, can become a butterfly? You do know? Let us know. Okay. But anyway, what I'm saying is that was going to be one of my illustrations, and Susan, you know, said it today. But we've had some butterflies in our yard. And one of them, it was like about this long. And I saw that it was eating my citrus leaves. And I thought, dang, what is this thing? So, of course, I take a picture on my camera, you know, and I send it to my daughter. She sends back and says, Dad, it's a great yellow thing that, you know, it's a special, you know, beautiful big yellow tail, whatever, butterfly. And, but it looked like a prehistoric monster. It had a face on it and everything. No, it's a trip. It was really a trip. I thought, you know, I was just ready to squirt that thing. I thought, no, I better, you know, what do you call them? Not deodorant, but you know what I mean. And, that's where I'm going. Oh boy, it's going to, the best part has just passed. The worst is coming. But anyway, I was going to hit it, you know, and kill it, you know, and I thought, oh, it's too beautiful. What is this guy? And my daughter shoots back. And so anyway, he flies around, and sometimes I'm talking to people, and I'm on my phone out there, and I'm talking. And I said, you know, there's a butterfly flying around. And one of the ladies says, oh, butterflies mean this to me. I said, she goes, I followed them all my life. You know, I thought, yeah, I am too. This is just amazing, this guy. And then we had another one do it. And then the third generation we haven't seen. But anyway, what I'm saying is this. I began to see the glory of God in a bird song. I began to see the glory of God in acts of kindness. I began to see the glory of God in a little baby. You know, no matter, you talk about racism or the problem we have. If there's children, like we were in Costco yesterday, whether African American, Hispanic, doesn't matter, Middle Eastern, doesn't matter. If you respond to their children, you're instantly their friend. Instantly. With beautiful children. Of course, you're sincere. You mean they're beautiful little kids. That's the glory of God. There's a handprint of God in the whole earth. That's why it says here, well, I don't believe in God. Well, okay. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, Rick, They're all over the place. It's everywhere. So my eyes got opened and I see much better now in a gentle act of kindness. Are you ready for this? Giving a waitress a bigger tip than she expected. Oh, don't feel bad. I'm just telling you. It's nice. You go back into that restaurant, they're always nicer to you. But it's not, I don't do it for that reason. I do it because I care about them. Don't you? Or anybody for that matter. So the glory of God is in the simple things of life, as in the overwhelming. We're expecting the glory of God to cover the whole earth. We want to see people saved, resurrections from the dead, all those things. We believe they're coming. We're crying out for them. But since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities. So his invisible qualities of mercy, grace, you know, a butterfly. I mean, who made a butterfly? Have you ever seen flowers and see the intricacy of flowers? Flowers are unbelievable. If you really look at some of these flowers, especially when I was older, the older ladies in my day had all these flowers that were so amazing. You hardly see them anymore. But it's like they had this coming out of them, that coming out of them. They were like amazing. I don't know where the heck those flowers went. But anyway, I used to watch them, you know, and look at those flowers. But it says the creation shows you the invisible God. His eternal power, his divine nature, having been clearly seen and understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. See, that's the deal. Because God says, even if you don't believe in me, do you really believe that all of this came out of nothing? That's a bigger miracle than God making it. Think about it. Like, well, it all came from nothing. You know, your great, 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 great grandfather was an ape. Okay, hallelujah. If you believe that, great. But it's not true, you see. But that's just everywhere. If you're educated, that's what you believe today. But when I was a kid, it was a little different. Now, here's the point. Is that this is what the Bible says. It ain't going to pass away. It's not going to change. Okay. So here we are as Christians. What do we do with knowing these truths? There are times when we have to be crying out for our neighbors. If we really pray, if we really believe in God, we're crying out. I was just thinking about 8 of my friends some of them I've known since the 3rd grade that we went all through high school with. Saw them a couple of years ago at my reunion. And some of them are doing okay. Others of them are still confused. They don't know the Lord. But I refuse to let them perish. Amen. I keep praying for all of them. Okay, let's go to John 10:27. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Well, you know, it's really amazing. When I was a young believer, 1976 is when the Lord really made himself real to me. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was working as a salesman, car salesman. My uncle, in those days, he owned Datsun stores. Now they call them Nissan. He owned two, one in Glendale, one in Santa Barbara. And I was working in the one. Many of you probably heard the story, but I was working there. And then I felt like the Lord wanted me, and I was a brand new believer, wanted me to go to and sell Mercedes-Benz. And Volvo, but especially Mercedes. And so it was so weird. I was just a young believer. I didn't know what to do. So I just said, you know, Lord, would you make it real to me? You know, I don't know much. Would you make it real to me? And this is the absolute truth. All of a sudden, boom, I would look. There was a Volvo and a Mercedes together. This went on for weeks. Look again. There's a Volvo and a Mercedes together. I look again. There's a Volvo and a Mercedes together. You say, is that biblical? Well, the whole world is God's picture Bible. That's the way I look at it, you know. Have you ever had God talk to you when a bird is singing? You think you're going nuts? Well, you know, like you think you're interpreting what he's saying then, you know. But what I'm saying is, can you feel the joy from that bird? Yeah, in the early morning, you know. Now, I've been told this. Now, if you ask me the source, I don't remember. But I was told that they said now they're able to figure it out. And if you know that I'm saying the truth, raise your hand to confirm that I haven't lost it. But they say that early in the morning in many areas, that birds, the tone of their voice helps leaves and flowers open. Have any of you heard that? Has anybody heard that? You have? Thank you. Yeah, I've heard it several times. That they say that there's a certain sound with certain birds that it actually helps. In other words, it like wakes up the flowers, you know. But I've read about it. I've heard about it. I know for a fact that there's a doctor in Japan. We had it was called the Water Works or something, where they could speak into plants and so forth and see them, you know, do well or do bad, you know. It was, yeah, but it was the power of the Word of God. But I forget the name of that. Lisa, what was that book? Do you remember that? Anyway, you can look it up. But it was very interesting. And when they used the word Hitler, and they would say Hitler, 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 when they broke down the particles and stuff, it was a very ugly thing. When they talked about how the beauty of God or something wonderful, the thing, the particles and the cells and so forth, I forget exactly how it went, but it showed it how it reacted. Water crystals. That's it. The frozen water crystals. You can look it up. It's online. But it was a doctor who did this. It wasn't some preacher trying to figure things out. So anyway, here it is. It wasn't me anyway. My sheep will listen to my voice. So it was very interesting how the Lord began to speak to me. He would begin to bring scriptures to my mind. I was a literature major, Pam and I were. I had gone to Hawaii to seek the truth. You heard about that. Studied the classics, found out they weren't there. Came home, had an accident, had to stay. And he began to reveal himself to me. I was on the corner of the fountain there at Griffith Park with my big, huge dog. Another guy with a big, huge dog introduced himself. He wanted me to go to this small thing. It was called, they were worshiping this thing called Gohanza or whatever. I went. And the next thing I know, these precious people are bringing in this little altar. And I didn't, in the bedroom where I was staying there with my grandparents. And I remember the next morning I woke up and it was like, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I didn't even know that verse. I didn't even know that verse. I got that thing up. I threw it up on the hill. And I thought, that's not far enough. I went up by the observatory and threw the thing down from the observatory. I wasn't even a Christian, but I was on my way to become one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Woo! Whoever said it, I'm with you. You know, that's it. I mean, I kind of, you know, but I still was not yet a real believer. I didn't really know. And then about 4 years later, I was in a Bible study up Beechwood Drive there in Hollywood Hills. And some guy prophesied, there's somebody in here, a man going around in circles. The Lord said, be still and know that I am God. I thought, oh, everybody must know it's me, you know. So he began to speak to me, and he's spoken to many of you the same way. You just don't think it could be God, but he'll use anything to talk to you. He'll even use your dog looking at you and barking at you. There's a thing like, when are we going to go have fun? Yeah. Sometimes that's what the Lord wants, you know. He's saying, I want you to relax, Rick. Go for a walk with your dog. Let me tell you how I used to get my messages in the early days. Our oldest daughter's 35 years old. And I would take her when she was three, probably a little before she was three, to the pony rides at Griffith Park. And the Lord would say, you know, you're too religious and too uptight. Take a pencil and paper, and I will give you your message when your daughter is going around in circles with the ponies. Why did he do that? Because he was saying, you're getting too religious, dude. You know, relax. I want you to be able to receive me outside. Your heart's open. Your daughter's happy. You're happy. You're waving. You're walking around, getting to know other people and so forth. And that I'd have to write down, dang, this is what I'm going to preach tomorrow. See? Why? Yeah, but because, you know, but I would fast and pray, and I still do, you know, and seek God and all that. But many times it's like he says, look, would you just relax, you know? I just want you to relax. That's one of the ways that you enter into God is you relax. Okay, no, don't do that. There's no uptightness with Jesus. You know, it's like foreign to heaven, you know. Worry is like, you know, you still are connected to the fallen planet. Don't worry, you know. Your Father takes care of the birds. So here Jesus says things like this, to open up your eyes, to open up your ears, to know God. He says, look at the birdies. Almighty God says, look at the birds. So I'm not weird. Matthew 6, Jesus said, look at the birds. They don't labor. They're not nervous. And they're not begging. They know, my holy heavenly Father takes care of them. You know, someone did it one time, and I don't know how it may have changed radically, but they added up how many billions of tons of seed and food it would take to feed birds for one day in the earth. I mean, it's amazing. It's like, I don't know what it was. Are you kidding? I don't remember numbers like that. But it's like, you know, it's like Jesus, you know, you're Almighty God, right? We believe you're the real Messiah. You're the real guy. Tell us something heavy. Okay, you see those birds up there? Yeah, yeah. We all know what birds are, Lord. Great. They're not worrying. They're being taken care of. Do you get it? What are you saying, God? Give me something heavy. No, just relax. Know that God will take care of you. Amen. So this is very heavy, deep teaching. It's so simple, the children can stay in. Jesus goes on to say, Hebrews 4:12, Jessica was quoting it today. I'm just going to hit the first two or three words there. And it says that the word of God is active and alive. Does it say that? Yeah, when I began to hunger for the word of God, I found out when I left the Bible, the word would start talking to me even more than when I was reading it. Because in the early days when I read the Bible, I couldn't understand it. But I would read it and I didn't really understand. Then I would walk away or lay down or relax. And all of a sudden, if I would think about what I read, all of a sudden things would come alive to me. Did we find that one up there? I'll just give it to you. What did I say? Hebrews 4:12. Did I give you 4:12? Okay. Anyway, Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is sharp, powerful, and active. It's alive. Does it say it's alive here? The word of God is alive and active. What the heck does that mean? Jesus in John 6:63, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Listen carefully. When you meditate on the word of God, it is active and powerful. It goes inside you and it basically cleanses your inner being, deals with your thoughts and the motives of your heart. But what it does is it purifies your heart. The word of God washes you. The word of God washes you. You'll be washed with the water of the word. Ephesians 5 says, as you read your Bible, even if you don't understand it, get a good study Bible. They're everywhere. Anybody can do it today. For the word of God is alive. So what that means to me, as I read the word of God, it says, Jesus, you said your sheep will hear your voice. Even last night, sometimes I think I'm in prayer or I'm experiencing the discouragement of many of us that are not hearing from God. Saturday nights are usually very difficult for me because I hope I'm able to contact areas that need to be removed from you. So I'm praying against all forms of discouragement that are coming upon you. For it's like, well, the pastor's preaching this and when I go home it doesn't happen. Or it's more difficult than that. I know. But what I'm telling you is the truth. And the truth will be inside you, growing inside you, and it will always produce what it said. The word of God is living and active. When he plants a word inside of you, I love you, there will be an attack against it. If you love me, how come this? But when he begins to make himself known to you, listen, I have some books. One's called Intramuros. One's called Within the Gates. And another one is called Archco. These are old classical books written in the 1800s, some of them. One of them goes back to the first century of the Lord. And they were testimonies, personal testimonies of people going to heaven. Sometimes they were, in two cases of these women, they were going to heaven because they were on seemingly on their deathbed. They would go to heaven. But I noticed that they all said the same thing about Jesus. Everybody that says has seen Jesus says his eyes are blue, clear blue, yeah. They all say that when they're with him, they almost all use the same experiences. They say, my heart was so full. My heart was full. And others in heaven, when they come to them, they say, I know you've seen him. And so they leave them alone. They're totally overwhelmed. Now, there will be moments when you'll have that with the Lord. And when your hearts are full, that's a fullness of your spiritual senses because of his presence. When I read those stories, I cannot read them without weeping or at least having tears just flow down like this because they're all saying the same thing. One of them was put out by Gordon Lindsay, Christ for the Nations. Other ones, one I was reading about Pilate who talked about his Pilate in the Bible talked about his meeting with Jesus. And Catherine Kuhlman used to read that book, they said, in the 60s and 70s. Anyway, I have a copy of that. You can get those online, Pilate's Acts. But Pilate would talk about things about Jesus, but they all end up saying the same thing. They said he was kindness and innocence and beauty beyond the human tongue. One time, according to some of these testimonies, when one of them saw Jesus preaching when he was on the earth, they said he stood out so clearly because of pure innocence and grace. That's what they said. Talk about the testimonies of Paul and others and Peter. But in the scripture, you can see how people were mesmerized by the Lord, or they hated him. They hated him because he said, the world hates me because I testify that its deeds are evil. We're never going to be able to bridge that gap. We cannot get politically correct. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's it. Can't say, well, what about this? Nope, that's it. We have to be so uncompromising, but merciful and tenderhearted about it. But this is what I say. If we only say things like, you must know Jesus or you're going to go to hell, which is the truth, but there'll come a time when the reality of Jesus will begin to penetrate the human heart. How do I know that? Because in the last days, saith the Lord, Joel 2:28, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. There's coming a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to start revealing himself to people by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what's going to ignite the church, but also cause what we call the great end time harvest. It's coming. And what happens is, as the Holy Spirit begins to descend upon people, upon you and me, as we begin to seek the Lord, our spiritual senses, our heart is being purified so we can begin to perceive and know God better. Our spiritual ears, you know, I mean, I was a young guy who knew nothing. I had never gone to a Christian church in my life. Christian Science on my dad's side, Mormons on my mom and my mother's side. And I was never in a Christian church. I went with a girlfriend to a Catholic church, but I had to stay in the back and couldn't participate because I wasn't one of them. So it was like, you know, okay, fine, whatever. But still, in all of that, he began to draw me and make himself real to me. I remember some guys preaching out in Cal State Northridge. And I remember the guy was preaching in open air on the campus. And I walk up and I was thinking, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm thinking, I don't even know I believed in Jesus, but I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, you know. And it was just, I mean, this guy was preaching. He's like, Dad, I believe that. I believe in Jesus, you know. And but I had never been to church. But yeah, I thought, no, I believe that. I believe that guy. And I was in all these classic classes of trying to find out what the classics had said about God and stuff. And a few of them knew God, but very few. Anyway, I want to go with one more verse. Let's go to Hebrews 12:14. This is a little on the sober side. Hebrews 12:14, it says, without holiness, no man shall see God. So what do we do about that? That's an amazing verse. It's going to come forward to the forefront pretty soon, I think. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Why? Because impure things cloud your hearts and minds. The cataracts of this world, you know, the world today. I mean, you know, Harry Potter and witchcraft is global power today. You know, the witches, every, what is it, a certain time of the month, they're all cursing Donald Trump, you know, the president. And they've gotten incredibly mobilized. Harry Potter, it's been people, you know, even people that are innocent have no idea that this stuff draws them into the dark side. We had things like that when I was a kid, but it was hidden. It was hidden in certain cultures, but now it's out in the open. So people are getting able to see the difference between good and evil is coming more and more clearly. What are we to do? Well, as far as holiness goes, we have been given the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, meekness, faith, and self-control. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, we will see God more clearly. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, be quick to repent, quick to forgive, be kind. The more kindness you have in your heart, the more you will see God. You're uptight, you're mad, you're angry. It'll close you up. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I'll finish with this last verse. We're going to pray. Let's go to Ephesians 4:30. This says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say many, many things that can grieve him. You know, even driving today, sometimes it's hard not to get upset. Some people, especially up where I live and in Glendale, I live above Glendale, but Glendale is the most deadly place for pedestrians to live in the LA area. I think it's the whole Southern California. Various reasons for that, which I won't go into. But and some of people, now, when they drive on Foothill Boulevard, which is our main thoroughfare, it's 35 miles an hour. I've had people pass me on the right in the parking, where the parking is, and going at least 65. Oh, yeah. And running red lights and stuff like that. Never seen it before. And so forth. So it's difficult not to be upset or even to be scared. You know, like, whoa, wow, what was that? And, you know, you're doing 70 to 75 just so that you won't be rear-ended, you know, and people fly by you like you're not even moving. You know, I don't know if you see it, but it's like, it's much more than it's ever been before. So little things like that, you know, can get you uptight and nervous and so forth. And so we have to stay calm, cool, collected. You know, we have to stay on God's frequency. We have to stay connected to God. How do we do that? We thank God for sending the person of the Holy Spirit and that he imparts holiness into you as you yield. And that is what makes you a spiritual man and a spiritual woman. You receive holiness from the Holy Spirit, the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Now watch what he hits here. Get rid of. He says, get rid of. Well, what am I supposed to do? Get rid of it. You know, like an old pair of shoes, you get rid of it. You get rid of all bitterness, you know, like anger, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. It keeps going on here. Watch this. I want to go down to end up in the fifth chapter. Keep going. Be kind and compassionate to one another. So this is how you see God. Be kind and compassionate with one another. You need to have timeouts in your own life, prayer time, whatever, where when you're driving and saying, you know, Lord, have I been mean to people lately? Have I, you know, been grieving your Holy Spirit lately? Or am I thinking thoughts that I have not confronted as evil? And as I think today Jessica mentioned something about shame. That's a huge thing that can paralyze you. As a new believer, there were two things that froze me. And it was the fear that I had from childhood. I was afraid to open up because, and I've said it before, I didn't want to let the boogeyman out. Because I thought if I let him out, I don't know what'll happen. So just, I'll just keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. I could feel it inside me. Shame is a paralyzing force. You know, new believers that are shameful, what's going on in their life or their marriage or struggling with this at work or whatever, temptations and stuff. Just shame, you know. Shame, shame, shame. It just covers everything to where you're paralyzed and you'll do nothing about it. And it keeps us captive. Says, no, no, you should not do that. You should be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. Keep going. For follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Now watch this verse. This is now chapter 5. Walk in the way of love. This is the way that you see God, because God is love. Walk in gentleness, tenderness, get rid of bitterness, all that stuff, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now watch this, keep going. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Keep going, watch this now. There should not be obscenity, foolish talk. Now get this next one. This always got me. Coarse joking. What do you think that is? Don't, you know, we're not even talking about the jokes today that are so, you know, speaking sexual things on television is just unbelievable today. But he says even, you know, even dirty jokes, which are out of place, but rather give thanks, giving thanks. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. They're not going to heaven, you see. So we're going to take just a few minutes here, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you this simple question. Lord, what are you saying to me today, especially this morning, about this teaching? Now, I know that some of it could be a little bit of a correction, or the Lord could be saying, get rid of bitterness, and you don't want to say that. That's totally fine. But I just want to take a few moments. The Lord may be saying something to us. So I'm going to pray, Lord, I pray that you would help them respond to this. And if there's something they could say publicly, it might be a little bit of an exposure, but, you know, if they are able to do it. But what you're saying to them today, sometimes this is so helpful for others to get bullet points at this time. And we pray for the release of your Spirit to touch your beautiful children's heart with truth that will help them see you better. What are you telling them today? Either encouraging them, correcting them, Lord. What is the nugget that you want to speak to them? And if he says it to you and you want to say it publicly, we'll wait in just a few moments. I'll wait about 30 seconds here. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Make it all real. This ain't no religion. This is a relationship with the true and living God. And he's 100% for you. Jesus is too wonderful. 1 second. Jesus is too wonderful for you to even understand in this life. But he's beautiful beyond compare, and he's your God. Amen.
His unconditional love is coming in a new way. It's going to completely set us free.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Lord, we're just speechless with your beauty.
Louder.
Lord, we are speechless with your beauty.
The time is here to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not to be petrified with fear because your Father loved you, but it's time to take these things more seriously than we've ever taken it before. It's time for me to watch every word that comes out of my mouth, every thought that comes out of my heart.
Amen, brother. Me too.
I was reminded of something that Joe Sweet said at the Midian Women's Conference, that when we lose our peace, we sin. And I felt like the Lord was saying that peace is a centrifugal force. And I looked up the definition of centrifugal force. And it's an apparent force that acts outward on a body, moving around a center, arising from the body's inertia. So as long as we have that peace as a center, it will keep us spinning without moving out of control and existing.
Can you all hear her? Okay. Thank you. So when we lose our peace,
we move into sin.
We move into sin.
And peace is like a centrifugal force that will keep us centered.
Peace is like a centrifugal force that keeps us centered. These are good things here. Keep going.
I've got the prophetic words all the way from the Old Testament and the end of Revelation that we are maybe 2-3 generations down to the final warfare, and that God is sending people throughout the earth to be saved.
We are complete in Him. What I see is
a little louder.
What I see is the example of the butterfly. We're all going through those different stages, and it's difficult for a butterfly, for a caterpillar, to climb up some of these bushes. We have butterfly bushes in the back, and they will go from the backyard to the front yard to the roof and hang there. And it's just the most amazing thing. But what the Lord is saying is that's what He's getting us to do. We can go from the back to the front because we are complete in Him. And we can do all things. So stop looking at our flesh,
yes,
and look to Him.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't look to yourself.
I ask you, Lord, for forgiveness, for quenching the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Father, to guard every thought captive. I ask you, Lord, that we would guard every thought captive, that what comes out of our mouth would be pleasing to you and not quenching the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes.
Love is patient and love is kind. And I love and I am patient with you. Be patient with others and kind.
Yes. Amen. God is patient. He's kind. He said, be kind to others. Be patient with others. Yes, Lord.
You know, it's so practical, but he's probably just telling me this, but I feel he's just saying that
a little louder,
getting proper sleep
is
very important to maintain peace.
Yes.
Getting proper sleep.
Help us those that can't sleep.
Yes.
Yes,
Lord. That you would give us sweet rest.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for sweet rest. The rest that comes from knowing you.
Something God's been really working on my heart right now is loneliness and the spirit of loneliness of this. And I think he's really calling us, especially me right now, to not sit back in that and be selfish, but to gather.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And to just not let that lie trap me with those thousands of people, but to just break free of that and to just gather, even if we feel like we don't want to, but just to spread joy from that.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful.
As we know, the devil is the father of lies. And I just had this picture, this feeling about Daniel and the lion's den.
Wow.
The whole earth is a lion's den. And this is the devil's domain. But when we believe, we shine bright within the lion's den.
Glory.
And the lies and the fire cannot touch us.
Glory.
And that is the testimony to the world.
Yes.
Us not being touched by the lies, us not being touched by the fire.
Praise God. Amen.
Yeah. Light in the darkness.
Scripture says the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same afflictions are accomplishing your brothers and sister throughout the whole world. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
We have one more.
Just keep going back to we were made for him.
Stand up a little bit.
Speak up. Oh, we were made for him.
Amen.
It's like boom.
That's the major point today. You were made for him.
Thank you.
Amen.